Louise McSharry on 2FM.
With Cadbury Brunch. Take a proper break with a Cadbury Brunch Bar.
It is Sunday, which means it is time for us to talk about popular culture. I am joined by Esther O'Moore Donoghue. Esther, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you. We were just discussing, I have my new addition in my life is my puffer jacket. It's the most, it makes me so happy, and I'm just happy because I had to wear it in today.
It's
I'm
one
so
of those
cozy.
Like long,
it's like a duvet.
Yeah.
It's a dream.
And I was just saying, there was one I had my eye on and it went on sale and sold out within 3 hours this week, because obviously I want one from a size inclusive, ethically made company. But no. And they say it's a one-off. But it can't be a one-off. I mean, surely if something sells out like that, they'll remake it.
This is the year for the duvet coat. We'll just see what happens. And if anything changes between now and the end of this pop culture slot, we'll update people.
Well, Esther, we are here to talk pop culture. And there is quite a lot to talk about because we're kind of heading into award season now, aren't we?
It is award season. And, you know, the Grammys have... they have a bit of drama at the moment with The Weeknd. He was upset that he didn't get any nominations.
Yeah.
And I kind of relate. I like when I was in first class, I won the writing competition my summer holiday. And I know it ruffled a lot of people's feathers. And but like that's just the way it was. Voting went. But so he's annoyed that he didn't get any nominations. And he tweeted, "You owe me and my fans some transparency." And then, you know, he kind of TMZ.
Great website. Reputable news source. Yeah.
They were saying there's negotiations behind the scene because The Weeknd is going to be doing the Super Bowl halftime show and the Grammys want an exclusive performance. But that's Super Bowl halftime is 100 million viewers and The Weeknd wasn't going to give that up. This is what they're saying. But the Academy CEO said, Harvey Mason said, the Super Bowl headlining gig in no way could have affected the nominations because voting closed before the performances were announced.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is not the first time. My good friend Kanye West was criticizing the whole behind the scenes negotiations in 2016, and said the whole thing needs to be reformed. Viewership and things like that are being put ahead of culture. Also Halsey kind of came in support of The Weeknd as well, saying she didn't get any nominations and what's it all about and there's backroom deals and stuff. But so, I kind of think, but that's, of course there is. That's what it is.
Here's the thing, right? Yeah. I don't doubt that there's some dodgy stuff happening in any kind of, organization like that.
Show business,
exactly.
Louise.
Exactly, you're right, Esther.
Thank you.
Not all about the show. Mm-hmm. But I'm just not sure, and I think it's fair to kind of criticize and question, but I'm just not sure if doing it in the context of not getting a nomination for an award is the best look.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Because it's kind of disrespectful to all the people who did get nominated. First of all, your fellow musicians, ostensibly your colleagues in the industry. Mm-hmm. And it also just looks a bit like sour grapes, even if you have a legitimate point to make.
Yeah, if you really want to, you know, try and incite change within the voting system or the back behind the scenes negotiations, then do something with your colleagues, the other artists, and kind of get some sort of, I don't know, a musicians union going or have meetings. You can kind of slide into each other's DMs and organise something. But yeah, this, you owe me and my fans some transparency. I mean, that's just someone when you're, you know, The Weeknd's obviously surrounded by his team. They're like, it's a travesty and you showed up and this and this and this. So they're all his yes people who were probably on his payroll are going to be like, yeah, you really need to say something. I mean, it's kind of lame. It's like sitting there and put that little tweet out there and it's like... Ugh.
Also, you know, music and all art is subjective. So... You know, what one person thinks is an absolutely incredible, like game-changing album, another person might think is just like, okay. Mm-hmm. So maybe his album is, you know, absolutely wonderful in many people's eyes, deserving of a Grammy, but there might be lots of people who think differently. And that's part of being an artist, is accepting that your creativity will be accepted and received in different ways by different people. Mm-hmm. I don't know, just, you know, calm down, The Weeknd. It's just not a good look.
Yeah, but calm down, The Weeknd.
Justin Bieber is also kind of being critical, but in a much more polite, I think, and reasonable manner, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, he's penned an open letter and we love an open letter.
Very civil, though.
When they pet, it is. And he's saying that he got 4 nominations in the pop category, including Best Pop Solo Performance for the track Yummy and Best Pop Vocal Album. But he says he appreciates it. He doesn't want to come across as ungrateful, and he's flattered to be acknowledged and appreciated for his artistry. But he said being put into the pop category feels weird. He thinks it's like it's an R&B. He said he set out to make an R&B album. Changes was and is an R&B album. It's not being acknowledged as an R&B album, which is very strange to me. So that's the message he's trying to get across. So I guess, but I don't know. Like, do his team have to submit them in certain categories? Is that how it works, or do the Grammys just pick it up? I don't know. I should have possibly googled that before. That's your job, Esther. Oh, actually, okay, cool. I'm going to pen an open letter to Esther. Could you google that before you come on air? Great. I'll do that next time. You watch Justin with his wife Hayley, and he's kind of more mindful and he's very spiritual now. And so this is a considered approach.
Yeah.
So The Weeknd maybe had a little hissy fit and put out a tweet, and Justin sat down with Hayley, maybe their pastor, wrote this letter, and maybe next year the Grammys will consider him, and he will be viewed as an R&B artist, because that's how he wants to be seen.
I feel like I need to go and listen to that album again and kind of see what I think in terms of what category it falls into. I'm not sure Yummy is an R&B. I don't know. Look, who am I? I'm just some random, as if my opinion matters to Justin Bieber. But I did really appreciate the tone of his criticism.
Yeah.
I felt it was very fair and very calm. Mm-hmm. And we just are really seeing the growth in Justin Bieber, who soft spot for.
Yeah, Justin's only 26.
He's so young.
He's got it together.
He's so young.
I know.
He's got it together for now. May it last.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we are going to, I'm going to play a song in a second, but before I want us to discuss why I'm playing this song, because the Suga Babes released their debut album 20 years ago this week. The album is called One Touch. Can you believe it? 20 years.
I cannot.
I cannot, and I can, because I remember listening. I remember buying the CD single of the song I'm about to play and listening to it in my Discman. That's a CD player, portable CD player. CD stands
so
for
funny.
Compact disc, friends. And listening to it on my walk to school in the morning in my school uniform.
Yeah.
And like feeling very kind of connected to them and also very jealous of them because they were only, I think, 15 and 16 at the time that it came out.
Yeah, they were. Are you going to play the song now or will we just?
Let's chat.
Yeah, and they were like, I was saying to you before we came on air, they were only 12 when they signed their management deal, which is bananas. It's a great album. So it's 20 years since the release of their debut album, and they are the original Suga Babes lineup are back together, which is Mucha Buena, Keisha Buchanan, and Siobhan Donaghy. But I have the list of the different lineup changes if you want to go through them before we go through anything.
Okay. It's a lot, but yes, remind us.
So the first lineup was the original, who are back together now.
Original and best, yes.
Siobhan Donaghy of Irish extraction, Mucha Buena, and Keisha Buchanan. Second lineup. Goodbye, Siobhan. She left. She was going to do her own thing. She couldn't handle it. Actually, she left in the middle of a Japanese promotional tour. And her former bandmates claimed that she excused herself to go to the toilet and never came back.
What? I actually had never heard that before.
Which I think they should have known. She's Irish. It's an Irish goodbye. How many of us have done that at a party?
Just gone to the loo.
So Mucha said, I hate her for running away and leaving us. Why couldn't she have had the guts to tell me to my face what her problem was? No guts, that girl. She's Irish. That's what we do.
Yeah.
That's what we do. Anyway.
We don't like confrontation.
She's like, I'm just going to go to the loo and never come back.
Despite her fighting Irish reputation, we're actually terrible at any kind of confrontation.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I'm not feeling comfortable. I'm just going to go and get a business class
like
ride back to London.
Like Homer into the bush.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, second lineup then, she's gone. Heidi Range is in. Mucha and Keisha are still there. Third lineup, 2005. Mucha Buena left to work with Groove Armada and George Michael, replaced by Amel Baraba. Sorry.
Was Mucha not still in it with Amel and Keisha?
No,
I think she was.
Was she?
Look, who knows?
I think Mucha. Well, look, we'll consult during the song because I'm getting confused myself now. And then the fourth one was none of the original members. And anyway, they're back together now. They've got a tour planned and a special surprise. We don't know what that is. Maybe they're having a limited edition sandwich with Subway. That is still to be confirmed. And they're going to release. They're going to release new music, so we'll see what happens. And Mucha said 2021 is going to be their year, and I say join the queue.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of our years.
A lot of us are looking forward
to. I interviewed Mucha a long time ago now, probably like 7 or 8 months ago, and she said that they were, she couldn't say much, but they were back recording. Anyway.
And you know, the first producer was Mabel's dad, Cameron McVeigh. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Well, there you go now.
It's all coming out today.
Okay, let's get back to our business today. And we will start with one of two Megans. Meghan Markle this week wrote something for the New York Times.
Yeah, she wrote a piece last Wednesday and entitled The Losses We Share. And she talked about her pregnancy loss. She said, back in July, it started as an ordinary day, feed the dogs, take the vitamins, and she felt a sharp cramp while she was changing Archie's diaper. She dropped to the floor with him in her arms, and she knew that, as she said, as I clutched my firstborn child, that I was losing my second. Mm-hmm. So it was a very honest piece. I think actually the last time I was in here, we were speaking about Chrissy Teigen's mm-hmm. Pregnancy loss as well. So she shared this essay with people, and as we said the last time as well, I think, you know, losing a child in early pregnancy is taboo. People are uncomfortable about it, talking about it. People don't know how to approach. It's kind of something to be dealt with sort of privately, and it's kind of a solo experience of grief for the most part. And Meghan sharing this story, you know, gives permission maybe for women to share theirs and to ask other people who are going through it, you know, if you're okay and what can I do? And
that's kind of what the piece was about, wasn't it? It was saying, like, you know, we are kind of told to deal with these things privately, but that's not necessarily the best thing for us.
Yeah, exactly. She said, and she discovered that, you know, in a room of 100 women, 10 to 20 of them would have suffered miscarriage. Yet despite the staggering commonality of this pain, the conversation remains taboo and riddled with unwarranted shame. And there's sort of like a stoicism you're supposed to, you know, women are traditionally expected to take on and just mourn privately. But it's sort of like, I think, you know, and there have been a couple of stories in the papers recently and online about women who are sharing, women in the public eye are sharing experiences. And I suppose people could, you know, people might say, why is this all happening at once? But I think there has to be a critical mass. I think people need to get kind of flooded with this information and sort of be given this blanket permission to talk about it. And it opens up, and it's kind of cringe, it opens up conversations, but it really does. I mean, there's things that we can talk about openly now. We're more open to talking about mental health, which people would have just kind of suffered and, you know, kept themselves. So this is another subject that hopefully will just become normal and, you know, normalised, and employers and will kind of give parents who've lost a child consideration when, you know, when they're going back to work and things like that.
Absolutely. And I think the thing for me was, isn't it great that Meghan Markle can do this now? You know, like that she is free to write something for the New York Times if she wants to.
Yeah.
You know, because when she was in the full, I suppose, depths of her royal responsibilities, you know, there were certain limitations on her. And she actually writes in the piece about that famous interview where she was with Harry on tour in Africa, and you know, they were visiting several African countries, and at the end of the tour an interviewer asked her if she was okay, and it was really, really striking. I actually have a clip of it, and we'll just have a quick listen.
I don't know what the impact on your physical and mental health of all the pressure that you clearly feel under.
I would say, look, any woman when they're, especially when they're pregnant, you're really vulnerable, and so that was made really challenging. And then when you have a newborn,
it's a long time ago, but I remember.
You know, and especially as a woman, it's a lot. So you add this on top of just trying to be a new mom or trying to be a newlywed. It's I guess. And also thank you for asking, because not many people have asked if I'm okay, but it's a very real thing to be going through behind the scenes.
So she, you know, she is able to kind of address that and address the fact that she was under so much pressure anyway, and to be public about all kinds of things, but specifically this, which, you know, I don't know, would she have been able to talk about this?
No, well, I think it's interesting that the Booking Palace were approached for a comment, and a spokesperson said it's a deeply personal matter, which we would not comment on. So, I mean, they're just coming from two different camps, and I suppose at the heart of, you know, Booking a pass, that is a family, and if that's their choice, that they don't want to speak about it. But I mean, they're, you know, Meghan would not have been able to, would not have been encouraged to share something like this. And if she has this platform, she can use it in a, this is a really considered and helpful way.
Yeah, and it seems like that is their intention, is to use their platform in a constructive way, and to try and use it in a way that will kind of implement positive change or positivity in the world. And I really respect it, I have to say. Now, an entirely different Meghan.
We'll just slide over to a different Megan. Don't get them mixed up.
Megan Thee Stallion, a queen, just announced for Longitude next summer. Can you believe, first of all, that acts are being announced for festivals? That seems like another planet. But anyway, it happened. And Megan Thee Stallion is due to play. And I would love to see her live because she is spectacular. Mm-hmm. And she performed at the American Music Awards this week.
Yeah, she performed at the AMAs and for her debut performance of Body. And I watched the performance and it looks amazing. It's stunning. And I could see the hair blowing and there was the fan. I was like, that's a Beyonce influence. And then it turns out, you know, Beyonce loves her fan.
Oh, she does.
So Megan had the hair going and I did my research, Louise,
yes,
in the computer, that Jack L. Knight, the man who choreographed Single Ladies Formation in Beychella, choreographed this performance also her recent Saturday Night Live performance and worked on the WAP music video as well.
What a hero.
I was like, oh, he's got the fan. Maybe the fan is originally from Jack L. Knight. So you could see that kind of influence. Although I will say, Megan had trainers on. Beyonce would have done it in heels. But look, we still stand.
Excuse me,
Megan.
That is the patriarchy speaking through you, Esther.
I'm saying Beyonce would have worn heels.
Yes.
And that's her choice to wear the heels. I'm just saying Megan wore trainers and that was her choice to wear the trainers. But it was stunning. And she also did up on YouTube, she did a freestyle rap before that would have not gone out live for the AMAs as well. And she's
amazing.
She's stunning. And also she, the video for Body is out now as well. And it's got, lots of kind of big names.
Yeah,
and
it's already a TikTok trend. She's having a moment.
Yeah.
Let's have a quick listen to what some of her kind of intro to her performance at the AMA sounded like.
I love my body. Every curve, every inch, every mark, every dimple. It's decoration on my temple. My body is mine, and nobody owns it but me. And whoever I choose to let in, it's so lovely. You may not think my body is perfect, and it probably never will be. But when I look in the mirror, I love what I see.
Okay, Megan. You go, girl.
That's how we should start every morning.
That is how I start every morning. You don't see that? You don't.
I just start looking at
the
mirror. I am terrific. I am terrific. I am terrific. But this is a bit longer. I'm very busy in the morning. I don't have time to say all this. But yeah, so we appreciate these positive words.
Yes.
And yeah.
Go, Megan.
Go, Megan.
Now, Maura and Chris.
Maura and Chris, now, you know what? I'll be honest with you.
You don't watch Love Island.
Don't watch Love Island, yeah. Okay?
I had a feeling.
So I had to go into my work Skype and I was like, okay, I see everyone's losing their minds. Like, what is the story here? So like, okay, well, first of all, it was like, was Chris in the house on the island with Maura at the same time? And yes, they were.
Yeah.
And they were kind of the little wingman. You know, they're kind of friends, whatever. They're both coupled up with other people. Thank you.
Oh, she learned the lingo.
Very good. She has been on the internet. Oh my goodness. So people lost their minds and it was trending on Twitter and trending all over the world in the universe. They surprised fans when they confirmed that they had fallen in love after their friendship blossomed to romance.
Mm-hmm.
Maura was celebrating her 30th birthday in Dubai. Of course she was.
Of course.
And the lips weren't touching, but they were sort of gazing into each other's face and they were very close. And Maura said, "He's mine."
Yep.
So everyone else, and he seemed, I, and then of course I was going in looking at all his videos. He seems like the cheeky, funny guy.
Yeah.
So I think I approve of this, even though I know nothing about either of them.
Yeah, everybody's really happy because most of the guys, a significant portion of the men who go on Love Island are not funny and smart.
Uh-huh.
Sorry. But Chris was funny, like really funny, like a sound, nice mm-hmm. guy. And Maura is gas.
Yeah.
So she shouldn't be with a bore, Chris Richard. She should be with someone funny and smart.
Yeah, this is my, and I don't want to be mean, but he does, this is my, because I'm coming in cold. I know Maura is great and everything, because I'd already seen We All Love Maura before. But AJ Pritchard seems a bit drippy.
No, Curtis is AJ's brother is who she was with.
Oh,
AJ
Kirstie?
Is in I'm a Celeb.
Oh.
Look, it's easily done. They're both
Because then
blonde.
I was wondering, how is he giving quotes to the sun if he's in Wales? I was like, have they made an exception? But AJ said he feels betrayed by both of them, two people he was very close to.
AJ?
That's what it said. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Look, they are completely interchangeable, to be honest. So no surprises there.
Yeah.
But don't worry, Esther.
But who cares?
It's okay.
Anyway,
I appreciate your efforts. We're very happy for Moore and Chris.
We're very happy for Moore and Chris. So yay, go them.
Okay. All right. Well, look, Esther O'Moore Donoghue, thank you so, so much. Go and read her in Rogue Collective today. You can listen to her on the 80% podcast. And she's all over the place. She's very busy, booked and busy.
Oh, yeah.
And thank you so much, Esther.
Louise McSharry on 2FM.
With Cadbury Brunch. Take a proper break with a Cadbury Brunch Bar.